Doug, just to clarify, your role in the packaging. The printers would print it. It would come in a roll in a film.
Yeah,
and then when it would arrive, what was your brief then?
Well, my brief, that's it. When the material came in, our QC people would check it against the specification sheet to see that all the information that was to be printed was on it, and that the wrapping material wasn't damaged in any way coming into the factory in the first place. And then I would get one of these reels, offer it up to the wrapping machine to make sure it ran properly.
Okay.
Now, that was the final. Once that happened, I was finished. Everything was fine.
And your role then was to supervise how this was going. Had it anything to do with measurement to place it onto the size of the box?
Going back to the very beginning, I'm not explaining myself obviously very well. They had decided they wanted a 300-gram Marietta. Now, that would require certain dimensions to wrap that. But we'd know the slug length, as we used to call the slug of the biscuit. We knew the diameter of the biscuit. And if the machine could cope with that, and Jonathan would answer that question, yes, if it did, yes, and then we would have a machine drawing for those dimensions for that particular pack size. Now, this machine drawing, this is the one I would convert into a grid pattern, which I called a grid pattern, which is really a flat piece of paper with the printing areas literally placed. I'm not expressing myself.
No, you're doing very well.
I would indicate the print panels that they would have to conform to and how the print repeat would take place. That is, when the next print position would be on the film.
I see.
That would be part of the machine drawing that I would have put into this grid pan. I wish I had one of these to show you,
I haven't. But it's extraordinary because you followed this from start to finish.
That's right.
And it was almost...
It sounds much more complex.
But it is complex, I'm sure. But what is really extraordinary is without any qualifications, any teaching at all in
engineering
or drawing.
I worked with the engineers.
But in graphic design, that you did this.
Yeah.
So where did you learn? Did you learn as you went along?
I learned as I went along.
But you must have had some advisor, an apprentice.
No, I didn't. I was given the machine drawings initially, the wrapping machine drawing from the wrapping machine manufacturer. And I was told, look, this is what we want, Doug, will you take it from there? And I would say, yeah, and I'd send these to the marketing department. There's a connection here I'm not giving to you.
No, just think about it for a sec, yeah.
Jonathan and the guy Ted Carroll, who looked after the machinery end with Jonathan, and I didn't look after the machinery end. They would give, I think it was either Ted or John, who would give me the machine drawing and say to me, look, Doug, this is the machine drawing for this particular pack we're going to launch. I think that's the way it came about.
Yeah.
Now, it would have been already thrashed out with marketing and they knew what they were going to get in the sense that we could do it. And I would give them, this is why I'm a bit lost myself. How did I come to be able to give this to the marketing people? Couldn't have been just that simple. Yes, it was, because they then would hand that on to the design house, whoever was going to do the job, and they would work off this, and then they would get the artwork in, which would be flat artwork but laid down to what had been dictated to on this thing, and they would pass it over to me for scrutiny. And I would check it against this, make sure all the dimensions were in place, all the printing areas were in the correct situation, all this jazz.
Did you do this for years?
Yeah, for years, yeah.
And it became second nature to you
then. It did, actually. I wish... I know where you're coming from, and I can't... It's what was the catalyst, if you like?
Who worked with you in there?
I worked on my own. I had a girl. Eventually had a girl. I couldn't cope with the work volume at one stage. And we got an assistant who did all the donkey work, like the paperwork and things like that.
Yeah.
And she was a great girl. She was a lassie. And she was a wonderful... Yeah. When I was retiring, they brought in another guy. They advertised for a guy. For somebody to come in and replace me. And we got a guy, all right. And things have changed a bit at this stage too inside. I wasn't answerable to Jonathan. Ted had retired, and I wasn't any answerable to Jonathan directly. They put a qualified food, somebody with a graduated with a food qualification. I forget the name of the title now, but she'd been working in Carberry's, and Jonathan brought her into our outfit, and she headed up the laboratory. Myself and somebody else, now I can't remember who it was, but she knew nothing about packaging. I still see she's retired now. That we know business when she went was wrong.
Were you not kept on to advise?
Well, with the new guy when he came in, yes, he came in before. No, she was there first, and then the new guy who replaced me came in while she was the boss of these three sections. She was quality control, the laboratory, and myself.
At what age were you when you retired?
I went to 65.
Did you? Yeah. And did you miss it? Did you?
Not really. No, I'd had enough. I was there for 42 years or something. Yeah. I went in 1954.
Yeah.
And I retired in... I have to work out the dates. I was born in 1931, and I was in 65 in 19... Oh, come on, give me a hand.
Well, if 40 and 50, about 1994.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, something like that. That's right. Yeah.
But it was an extraordinary long length of time.
That was what it was like in those days. People who, you know, it was quite a good job. It wasn't the highest paid job by any means, but it was an enjoyable job, and I liked it. And I got married, reared a family, now I have my grandchildren, owned my house years ago, and I have a lot to be grateful for. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah. Well, it's an extraordinary, it's something that will never happen again. You know,
that particular business is gone now. It wouldn't be done that way again.
Yeah.
Now, since I, when I initially was proofing jobs in Cylinder House, I'd go to the engraving house. These are the people who engrave the cylinders, etch the cylinders on. They'd colour separate the artwork. It was all done by camera and films. And the engraving process for each colour would take hours, 6 or 7 hours, to engrave a cylinder. It's all done like this now. It's changed. I wouldn't follow it now. It's changed so dramatically.
Doug Wilson, thank you very much.
I hope it's
absolutely extraordinary. Somebody coming from...
nothing.
You know, yes, and to develop such an important part of the industry.
I'm glad you say it like that, but I never looked upon it. And the company wouldn't look upon it that way either. I wouldn't have thought so anyway. It was a job that had to be done and got done. And Jonathan was the boss man, and I suppose in behind he'd be keeping an eye. But he never said to me, "Don't you do it this way or do it that way." I never had this from him. He just free hand.
Yeah.
And as long as it was right, he was happy.
Well, thank you.
Not a lot. Pleasure.